3000, or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network, on the radio in St. Simons Island at 91.3. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Youngblood. It's always a pleasure and honor for me to do that. And each time that I do, I look forward to it, spending just a little bit of time with his listening audience and sharing with you those things which are happening in the news today and how we as Christians should react to what is going on. A little bit about myself. I live in Pensacola, Florida. I own a small business, an insurance and financial services agency. I've been doing that for 33, going on 34 years now. Before that, I served 10 years active duty Air Force. After graduating from the Air Force Academy in 1980, I've also served terms as a Florida State Representative, first representing District 2 in the Panhandle here in the Pensacola area, and then District 1, which is the northern part of the Panhandle here in Escambia County. That was from 2013 to 2020. So now I focus primarily on running this small business. And I do speak occasionally, I would say maybe once every 10 to 14 days, somewhere on a live radio show, TV show, or a podcast around the nation, where the producers of these various shows will ask me to give my thoughts on some topic they may bring before me. And so oftentimes my thoughts that I share on those shows, I also share with you here so that you hear exactly the same thing that I'm sharing with them. And so there's a number of topics I'd like for us to get into today. Some of them are just fascinating, fascinating in the fact that Democrats think that we should continue to abide by their insanity, and others just for the sheer audacity of what we see happening around the world. But before we get to that, let's talk about one of the sponsors for Let's Face the Issues. Let's Face the Issues is brought to you in part by Tools for a Time. Tools for a Time is an outdoor dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own their own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for a Time also has a full line of hurricane preparedness equipment, including Honda and Echo generators. Tools for a Time staff can answer all of your homeowner and professional and backup power equipment questions. They're located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, near the intersection of Old St. Augustine Road and I-295. Right at the base of the gigantic 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory flying 24/7. They can be reached online at toolsforatime.com. That's toolsforatime.com. Okay, some of the topics that I'd like us to get in today is also Claudine Gay. Everyone knows that is the president of Harvard who was fired from that position, but don't feel sorry for her because she is now teaching at Harvard with a $900,000 a year salary. My goodness. But we're going to talk about Claudine Gay and how that relates to DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, and the war in the Middle East. And then let's also talk about how a lot of us as Americans, we simply refuse to comply when it comes to the Democrats' desire for us to either get a COVID shot or to comply with how they want us to walk in certain directions and everything else. Now, there's also a very interesting article from Foundation for Economic Education. The title of it is Science Has a Major Fraud Problem. Here's why government funding is the likely culprit. We'll jump into that a little bit. If you would like to join the show today, the call-in number is 904-831-0917. And you can call in with your comments or your thoughts and just share with the other listeners. Here's one article that comes out of Zero Hedge, and it's utterly amazing. It was written by Alex Berenson, who I know Alex. I've met him before. He was a former journalist who then turned into a researcher, and he will research topics and then write about them. And one great book that he wrote is Tell Your Children, was the title of the book, and it talks about the dangers of marijuana. That's right. You know, nowadays, and it started back in the 60s, 70s, and then Obama tried to make it cool, saying that recreational marijuana is no worse than alcohol, when neither one of them are really good for you, but marijuana is a lot worse. And I know there's an initiative this year in Florida to get recreational medical marijuana on a ballot and vote it for so that people can recreationally smoke marijuana here in Florida legally, even though it is still against federal law to do so. Several states have already done it. And each state that has done it, if you look at the details, it has been an utter disaster. Colorado, California, New York, it's just been an utter disaster. And it is not good. And Alex Berenson details in his book the problems with THC, which causes the euphoria in marijuana, and what it leads to. It is not a pretty picture. Parents, keep your children away from medical marijuana. Floridians, do not vote yes. Do not vote for legalization of recreational marijuana in Florida. It is a disaster. Just don't do it. Now, Alex Berenson wrote this article. The title of it says, the AARP just told its 38 million members to get an eighth, that's right, an eighth shot of mRNA. Can you believe that? Why would anyone get one shot? But they are telling people to get their eighth shot. Here's the article. The lobbying group for older Americans just told us nearly 38 million members to hustle for another COVID jab, even if they have already had five boosters. An article goes, see for yourself, and it shows a picture of the following question and answer column ran in the organization's December AARP bulletin. And it shows where someone sent in this question. I'm up to 5 COVID boosters. This is an actual person who's had 5 of these shots. Should I really be signing up for yet another shot? AARP's answer, yes. If you didn't get a COVID vaccine this fall, you need to hustle and catch up. So AARP is open to anyone who is 50 years old or older. The column does not, AARP's column, does not specify a narrower or higher range, age range for its recommendation. Thus, it implies that even a 50-year-old who has not already had 6 COVID boosters needs to catch up with another one immediately. Keep in mind that someone who has had 5 COVID boosters has actually received 7 mRNA jabs. The initial 2-shot primary vaccination regimen followed by 5 boosters. Thus, AARP is suggesting its members should be taking their 8th jab of mRNA in the last 3 years. Unbelievable. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not ashamed to admit that I have not had 1 jab. And I will not get a jab. I refuse to get a jab. I haven't so much as had a flu shot since I left the military in 1990. And I would not have gotten it when I was in the military, except they made it mandatory. I was always one of the last holdouts where I would get a phone call or a message from one of my superior officers telling me that the deadline is looming and I'm one of the few who has not gotten the flu shot yet. And it was like that every year. I just refused until finally I was ordered to go get one. Now, we have those in the military today who refused to get that COVID jab and they were kicked out. And I applaud those people and condemn the Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin, who, by the way, is another story altogether, where he was AWOL for almost a week. And get this, nobody missed him while he was AWOL. That's utterly amazing. Well, that's something else. We'll get back to that later. Back to this article. AARP, unbelievably bad advice, doesn't end there. Scientists have essentially no safety data beyond a 3rd shot. No data. Get that. There is no safety data beyond a 3rd shot. And the data that they have before those shots is on such shaky ground that you can't trust it anyway. But they have no data beyond a 3rd shot, much less a 4th or more. And thus, no way of knowing if the risk of repeated mRNA dosing rise with each shot. You have to know, ladies and gentlemen, that something has to be happening to your body if you're getting all these shots put into it. And they're talking about 8 just within the past 3 years. The column then goes on to tell members, this is the AARP column, then goes on to tell members that the most recent shot, which was released in September 2023, isn't actually a booster. It's a new vaccine that targets the latest variants. Now, a new vaccine? I guess it must have gone through the randomized trials that are required in the United States for any new drug or vaccine. No, it hasn't. Let's just call it a new vaccine anyway, since our elderly readers have gotten kind of suspicious of the failure of the COVID shots they've already taken. But the article, this is the AARP article, ends on a happy note. Researchers are even working on a combined COVID flu vaccine. So a few years from now, a single shot from your doctor or pharmacy may be all you need to protect yourself fully. Yeah, right. You're not going to give me that shot. If the side effects from the 23 mRNA jabs you've taken by then didn't kill you first, so now they're telling you to go get a shot that's going to combine COVID and flu. You have to be insane to go get that shot. I mean, you really do. I can't understand people who would participate in that. I told you that I didn't get the flu shot when I was in the military, and I'm certainly not going to get the COVID shot ever. And you can't hold me down and make me get a COVID flu shot combination. It's insane, but Democrats will do it. They're crazy. Now, speaking of Democrats who will comply and the rest of us who will not comply, here's another article. It comes from Zero Hedge, but it was written by Jeffrey Tucker through the Brownstone Institute. And the title of this is A Nation of Non-Compliers. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, this is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Gene Youngblood on Let's Face the Issues. And if you would like to call in with your thoughts on getting a COVID jab, please do. The call-in number is 904-831-0917. So we have an article here from Jeffrey Tucker that is titled A Nation of Non-Compliers. And here is what the article says. The train wasn't okay, ladies and gentlemen, I understand that we're back. For some reason, the station lost the audio, but we're back on. And let me just back up a little bit. I was talking about how AARP is encouraging its members to get their eighth COVID jab, which is complete. You would think that after you've taken the first two, three, and they're not working, why on earth would you get more, up to eight? And why would you need eight just for it to work? You're putting just poison in your body. And at any rate, so there are those, the Democrats, who will take it, and those of us with a bit of common sense who will not. And here's an article by Jeffrey Tucker from the Brownstone Institute, which talks about a nation of non-compliers. Okay, the train wasn't scheduled for another 20 minutes, so I had a chance to contemplate the official sign on the door of a huge elevator leading to the platform. It said that only 4 people are allowed in because we must all practice social distancing. There is a helpful map on the interior of the elevator with stick figures telling people exactly where to stand. Yes, these stickers are still everywhere. Here's Jeffrey Tucker in his article, says that the title of the article being A Nation of Non-Compliers. So Jeffrey Tucker goes on to say, yes, these stickers are everywhere. I recall when they first went up sometime in April of 2020. They seemed oddly uniform and appeared even permanent. At the time, I thought, oh, this is a huge error, because within a few weeks, the error of the whole of this idiocy is going to be known by all. Sadly, my worst fears came true. It was designed to be a permanent feature of our lives. Same with the strange arrows on the ground telling us which way to walk. They are still everywhere, stuck on the floor, an integral part of the linoleum. If you walk this way, you will infect people, which is why you have to walk that way, which is safe. As for masks, the mandates keep popping up in strange places and strange ways. My inbox fills with pleas for how people can fight this stuff. I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, not only did I not get the jab, the COVID jab, not only did I not wear a mask ever, except when I was flying, because they wouldn't let you fly unless you put it on, then I was always pulling it down below my nose just so I could breathe, and some stewardess or a steward, Delta was the worst, those mask Nazis will come by and tell you to pull your mask up over my nose. I will pull it up until they walk by, then I pull it back down. But I never wore the mask, and I intentionally walked in the wrong direction at the store against the arrows because I knew it was nonsense. And anyone with any common sense knew the same thing. Now, back to Jeffrey Tucker's article. The essential message of all these edicts that were coming down: you are pathogenic, a carrier, poisonous, dangerous, and so is everyone else. Every human person is a disease vector. While it's fine, you are out and about, you must always create a little isolation zone around you such that you have no contact with other human beings. It's so odd that no dystopian book or novel ever imagined a plot centered on such a stupid and evil concept. Not even in 1984 or The Hunger Games or The Matrix or Brave New World was it ever imagined that a government would institute a rule that all people in public spaces must stand 6 feet away in all directions from any other person. Remember at those Biden campaign events where he had those circles drawn on the ground that people would either stand or sit in at during his pathetic campaign rallies where you couldn't get 100 people to show up? And here at the Trump rallies, there are thousands, tens of thousands packed into these stadiums and then more waiting outdoors. And you're going to try and tell me that Joe Biden actually won that election? No, I don't think so. The Democrats cheated and installed the Biden regime, and we are feeling the disastrous results of it now. Now, back to the article. That same government would insist on this was too crazy for even the darkest imaginings of the most pessimistic prognosticator, that 200 governments in the world at roughly the same time would go there was unimaginable. And yet here we are, years after the supposed emergency, and while governments are not enforcing it for the most part, many are still pushing the practice as the ideal form of human engagement. He's talking about the 6 feet distancing, walking in only certain directions, and wearing masks. In other words, isolating yourself from other humans. Except that we are not doing it. And he's talking about at this train station he was at. In this train station, no one paid any attention to any of the signage. The exhortations were entirely ignored, even by those who were still masked up and, one presumes, boosted 7 times. When the moment arrived for people to get into the elevator, a crowd began to pour in quickly beyond 4, then 8, then 12. I stood there shoulder to shoulder with fully 25 other people in one elevator with a sign that demanded only 4 people get in at any one time. I sort of wanted to ask the crowd if they saw the sign and what did they think. But that would have been absurd because actually no one even cares. In any case, one guy asking a crowded elevator such a question would have raised suspicions that I was deep state or something. It was never clear, in any case, who was enforcing this. Who issued the rule? What are the penalties for not complying? No one ever said. Sure, there was in the past usually some flunky bureaucrat or a Karen who yelled at people or said, do this and don't do that, but these people seem long ago to have given up. It's not even a thing anymore, and yet the signs still exist. Probably they will stay forever. There is an enormous disjunction that still persists between what we are told to do and what we actually do. It's as if incredulity toward official dictate is now baked into our daily lives. My first thought is that it doesn't make much sense at all, even from the point of view of those who aspire to control our lives, to issue commands to which no one listens or obeys. On the other hand, there might be just some meta rationale for this, as if to say, we are nuts. You know we are nuts. We know you know we are nuts, but we are in charge and continue to do this anyway. In other words, edicts to which no one complies serve a certain purpose. They are a visual reminder of who is in charge, what these people believe, and the presence of a sword of Damocles hanging over the whole population. At any point, anyone can be snatched away from normal life, made a criminal, and forced to pay a price. The nuttier the edicts, the more effective the message. Thus, we do live in the same times. There seems to be a huge and widening gulf separating the rulers from the ruled, and this gulf pertains to values, aims, methods, and even vision for the future. Whereas most of the population aspires to live a better life, we cannot shake the sense that someone out there has more power than the rest of us, aspires for us to be poorer, more miserable, more afraid, more dependent, and more compliant. They're called Democrats. After all, we're just barely shaking off the most grandiose experiment in universal human control in the historical record. The attempt to micromanage the whole of everyone belonging to the human race in the name of gaining control over a virus. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Gene Youngblood. We're going to continue after the top of the hour with many more articles. I look forward to hearing from you. You can call in at 904-831-0917. We'll be right back.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene Youngblood. from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida.